We saw him record.
Yeah, take, you know, we're gonna take a break for a second.
Should I leave that?
No, shut it off. All right, can we say that again?
25-255.
Thank you.
Good morning, Matt Hoffman, Bridgeport Sergeant.
Your position?
Yes, in full transparency, I was just placed into this position about a week ago, so I apologize for not knowing the process. I have, at this time, zero formal training, but I will do my best.
We're gonna help you out with that today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And we're.
Appreciate that as well.
So we're looking for an opening, brief opening statement on why he was denied?
The appellant was denied for pistol permit due to suitability. The appellant was denied due to his involvement in an incident, which was a suicide attempt on May 15th, 2020, that occurred in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and again occurred later on in the same evening on May 15th, 2020, in Shelton, Connecticut. The appellant threatened suicide and stated that he suffered from depression. The appellant stated on the above date that this was his last day to his girlfriend, who phoned in an emergency call to our dispatch center. After conducting an emergency ping on his phone, additional phone calls were received from our dispatch stating, from friends of the appellant, stating that he was quote unquote freaking out.
Good opening.
Thank you. Sir, do you want to make a brief opening statement?
Just here today to appeal the denial of the pistol permit application. Thank you.
Your case in chief?
Yes, so the appellant was obviously denied due to the calls that were coming into our dispatch center. The appellant's girlfriend at the time claimed that she received a call an hour ago from the appellant regarding that this being his last day. She also stated that he suffered from depression.
Sergeant, when was this?
This was on May 15th, 2020. The call came in at approximately 18:30 hours. Multiple attempts were made to make contact with the appellant. They were unsuccessful. An emergency ping was done on his phone due to the statements he made to his girlfriend at the time. The ping showed that he was in Oxford Drive, located in Shelton. At the time, another call came in from the ex-girlfriend who stated she received a text from the appellant stating that today was his last day. It was unknown where he was. Additional calls were then received from friends of the appellant stating that he was quote-unquote, as I said, freaking out before he was, I believe, located by Shelton PD and submitted to the hospital.
Do you have any questions you'd like to ask?
No.
Questions from the board?
Sure. Was the appellant taken to the hospital on an emergency committal?
I believe he was. I don't have that information here, but I believe he was. I can attempt to locate that.
And that would have been done by Shelton?
That would have been by Shelton, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you didn't see a copy of it.
Okay.
But is your understanding there was an emergency peer report was done?
I believe so, yes, sir. Which would have been a 72-hour hold, or up to the doctor at the time.
Does the appellant have any other record of any type with the Bridgeport Police Department?
No other record, sir.
Okay. And no other threatened suicide, depression incidents that you're aware of?
None that I'm aware of, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from the board? Would you like to make
pretty much remember everything that happened that day. I got into a big argument at home with my mom, a bunch of family stuff that occurred over the past few years. Reached out to my best friend, Priscilla Sword, probably shouldn't state names, but reached out to my best friend. Said, yeah, was, you know, probably planning on hurting myself, and I left the house immediately. Drove around Shelton, Trumbull, all these places. I just drove around for hours. In that time, I reached out to my other friend group. In the time staying, it was my last day. During that period, I was receiving phone calls from a 000 number. I didn't know the police were called, to be honest, until after I had gotten back home that day. I, again, continued to joke around. The other friends were trying to contact me. I just turned my phone off. And then toward the end, after driving around and, you know, kind of getting everything situated with myself, I reached out to my other friend group that I had texted on the drive, telling them where to meet me. It was like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, maybe a little bit later, by Veterans Park in Bridgeport. I was on the soccer field smoking cigarettes and talking to them, probably talking pretty loudly. That's why the freaking out part was mentioned. And then we took a walk around that area because one of my friends lived around that area. And then I went home, called out the next day from work, which is at St. Vincent's Hospital. And then that was it. So I was never, I never admitted to the hospital, anything of that matter.
You were not taken to the hospital?
No,
at all.
No.
I did just locate what appears to be the Shelton report that stated they were unable to locate him. They went to the house where he was. They went to his last known address, and they were unable to make contact. Just was able to find that report. I do have a copy if you'd like me to submit it to you.
We have
questions from the board? Yes, here. Do you have any questions for the appellant?
Have you sought any mental health treatment since this incident occurred?
No. This is just the way my life works. I know that was an isolated incident, but from that day, from that point, especially that later that night, I kind of just been working on myself since then. I grew up in Bridgeport, Connecticut, so you know, we kind of just deal with things as we go along. And no, I've just been continuing to work and work on myself daily, but no, not since then.
I also grew up in Bridgeport, Connecticut, so I mean, I think that, you know, if someone's involved in a situation like this where they're threatening suicide to close friends, and you know, they're asking for a firearm, you should go through some sort of type of treatment before someone places a firearm in your hands. But that is just my own opinion. So just for clarity, you have not sought out any treatment.
Okay. Questions from the board? Okay. Thank you.
You're going to have some.
Yeah.
No, okay. No, all right, you don't. Okay. The only question I had was, did you make any attempt to harm yourself based on the...
No, I drove around for hours, and that was it. And then I actually reached out to my friends and told them where I was, and that was it the entire night.
And no other incidents where you felt the same degree of stress?
After that happened, I called out to work the next day, continued to work at St. Vincent's for the next 2 years, got a job at Yale Outpatient Pharmacy, and then I'm in the process of getting another job, but no, nothing's happened since then.
And you still live in Bridgeport?
Correct.
And no therapy, nothing like that?
No, again, just for me personally, I've always learned to work things out on my own, so that's the way I just deal with it, and I never seek any type of medical attention because I feel I didn't need it, even though I know the situation may not seem like that, but I feel like I didn't need it and I was able to do it on my own.
You obviously scared a whole bunch of your friends.
Yes.
Was there an incident that triggered this problem at night?
Let's just say there was a lot of family issues brewing for a lot of years, a lot of things that happened, and again, me and my mom had gotten to an argument, and that brought that feeling out. Well, like I said, it was brewing for a long time. But again, after that drive and so forth, I was able to, you know, just get myself back together and go forward from there.
So why did you call your friends and text other of your acquaintances that you were going to harm yourself?
In the moment. just in the moment of the argument, because immediately after I said those things, and even shortly when I was on that drive, I texted my other friend group, but in the moment, I reached out to my friend, my best friend, and then shortly when I got on that drive, I reached out, but I just said it in the moment. That's all I could get.
What were you hoping to achieve by that?
I don't know. Maybe just letting someone know that, you know, maybe I'm not, wasn't in a good place at the time, and then, you know, eventually that night, I was surrounded by all my friends. So, you know, I was able to talk with them, and obviously before that, drive around and talk with myself.
How would you handle a similar situation at this point in time?
If I were having any feelings of that compared to back then, which is 2020, I would definitely seek a therapist or some type of treatment. But again, that hasn't occurred since then. But if I were feeling that way, I would seek treatment.
Is there a better way to ask your friends for help other than saying you're going to kill yourself?
Yeah, there definitely was. Again, it was a lot brewing over since childhood. So there was definitely a better way. But in that moment, there for me, within the first an hour or so, there wasn't a great explanation or better way to say it. So.
So how would you handle a situation like that if you were a pistol permit holder and had a gun?
I would say that, you know, based on the events of 2020, you know, it definitely doesn't look good on paper. Doesn't look good when you're explaining it to the board. But I would just look at the person and who they are now. You know, I was able to maintain my job. I was just continuing to work after that. I got a new job, in a relationship right now, taking care of my mother, working on getting another job. So I would just look at the person who's present and, base it off that. And if I were continuing to seek therapy and seek all these other outlets, I think that's, you know, something that, you know, to look out for, but I'm not seeking that because I'm in a good place.
Do you have a revised view on how you would ask friends for help?
I would just ask to meet up. You know, I'm 30 now, so I would just go out to, which is, you know, what I would do is just go out, say, hey, listen, I'm not feeling well. Do you mind if we go out and talk for a little while? Definitely not what had occurred back then.
I was involved before I was on the board with some suicide prevention groups. And the motto of the group I was involved with was have a brave conversation. And that's exactly what you're supposed to do when you start having those thoughts, or if you ever had those thoughts again. Talk to friends, talk to associates, talk to mental health professionals, get some help.
Thank you.
Did you know the police were looking for you?
No, I was getting calls from this number, like repeated. It was like a 0000 number. And I was just like, who is this? But then I was in the midst of it, I was getting calls from obviously people that were involved in the situation. And after all these calls, I was like, I just need time for myself, and I just turned off my phone. But I didn't know until I got back that night that the police were called. Actually, when we got to soccer field, they were mentioning that, you know, the police were called and so forth. So.
But there's never any contact between you and the police department?
No.
Excuse me, were drugs or alcohol involved at all?
No, never.
Do you have a problem with either?
No, never.
Other questions from the board? Would you like to make any kind of final statement?
No.
Would you like to make a final statement?
Just to say again, this happened in 2020. I waited almost four years to apply for the permit. I wouldn't apply for the permit if I feel like I couldn't handle myself. And, you know, again, from that moment, I worked throughout St. Vincent's Hospital during the worst parts of COVID, got another job, was taking care of my mother, and so forth. I think, looking at everything, that if I wasn't, you know, if I wasn't mentally stable, I wouldn't be able to keep all that up.
Summary?
Sure. This is a Bridgeport case. The basis of the denial is one incident that occurred in May 15th of 2020. The appellant's former girlfriend received text from the appellant stating it was his last day. friends of the appellant also reported to the police department that they had received similar texts. An emergency ping was done on the appellant's phone. It was located in Oxford. The Oxford Police Department were never able to locate the appellant. No other police action were involved with this case. The appellant testified that he reached out to some friends who met with him, spent time with him, and they were able to successfully resolve it that evening. The appellant has not felt the need for any therapy or anything like that. And he has no police involvement before this incident or after this incident.
Comments from the board? Ready for a vote? Dr. Conrad? Attorney Sinetti?
Appellant.
Colonel Overton?
Appellant.
Mr. Gray?
Appellant.
Colonel Lewis?
Appellant.
I vote appellant.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you.